Mr. Robert Shaliti?
Here.
Ms. Joanne Barnes?
Here.
Ms. Patricia Hens?
Here.
Mr. Chair?
Dwight Ellis is here. We have a quorum, and we're calling the meeting of the Ethics Board of the City of Milwaukee to order for Wednesday, August 10th, 2011. First order of business is approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. I will note before calling that motion that the minutes that were distributed have to be modified to reflect that we had a quorum at the beginning of the meeting. There were four present. Patricia Hens was here and should be noted on the minutes. As you'll indicate in the first roll call, she seconded the motion. I also just one typographical error I would modify in that first motion on the roll call and approval of minutes, that it would be to approve the minutes as opposed to approved the June 16th, 2011 minutes. With those modifications, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, the minutes are approved. We do have motions or actions for a closed session, so I will entertain a motion to convene in closed session to hear disciplinary matters and related information pursuant to section 19.851B and or F of the Wisconsin statutes, and to consider and render confidential advice pursuant to section 19.851H of the Wisconsin statutes. Do we have a motion for that effect?
So move.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Reconvene into open session as authorized by section 19.852 of the Wisconsin statutes.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, so we are now back in session. Okay, during our closed session, the board considered two separate requests for confidential advisory opinions and took testimony from the applicants and will be responding within the next week. So the next matter is the discussion of the status of cases filed in municipal court. And we have Jim. You're a regular attendee of our meetings.
I missed you.
I
missed you. Yeah, I get my own little nameplay. I missed you all. hi, Jim Ozarski, Deputy City Clerk, and it is a pleasure to be with you this morning. And you know, we were discussing out in the hallway how much we actually do appreciate what you do and that you'd volunteer your time to do this. In any event, as the chair indicated, I'm here to talk about the status of cases filed in municipal court pursuant to the provisions of the Code of Ethics. As you're all pretty well aware, this was a first go-around with a different approach to penalties. And it was, you know, just briefly to map it out for your recollection, there was a due date for the filing of SEIs, and any individual filing an SEI after that date was obligated to file a $25 fee. We then, the code grants those individuals an additional 30-day grace, and after that 30-day grace period, there is a $5 daily fee that accrues out to a total maximum of $125, including that initial $25. That fee was important because as the code was drafted, the staff of the Ethics Board, in this case Ms. Polanco, was unable to accept a late filed statement of economic interests without that fee. And we repeatedly had to tell people that, oh, I brought in my form. I'm sorry, but you're late, and you cannot file with us a completed form according to the directives of the code without that fee. You have in front of you once that fee was assessed, there was a separate provision of the code, separate and distinct from this late filing fee, and that being a municipal citation that upon the complaint of the Ethics Board filed by your staff with the Office of the city attorney could issue citations to individuals for late filing of the code. I stress, this is separate and distinct from their late filing fee. I guess on the plus side, I'd like to say that out of the several hundred statement of economic interest forms that were sent out, we had a very high level of compliance, north of 95%. And I think that speaks well to both your efforts to communicate with those affected as well as those individuals who took the responsibility on themselves to file it. There were, however, certain individuals who did not comply in a timely manner, some of whom have since paid their fee and complied. There was, however, a small group that was referred to the Office of the City Attorney at your motion for the issuance of a forfeiture or of a citation, which could lead to a forfeiture. In one incident, and I have memorandized that incident to the board, and I believe you have that from my office in front of you, cases of one individual who was late in filing, attempted to file late, was informed that that we could not accept her fee or her form without the required fee. She communicated back 8 days before the final deadline, how much is my fee, and I believe due to a transitional issue when Ms. Polanco was replacing Ms. Elmer, she was not replied to. While I cannot ascertain for certain whether or not she would have complied, I do not believe that that's the level of customer service you have a right to expect of my office, and certainly not what we expect. And therefore, we have requested your body to ask the city attorney to withdraw the citation against Ms. Tina Chang. In Ms. Chang's case, I can inform the board that she has filed her SEI with a $125 late filing fee, certainly as a gesture of good faith. So there's that matter. In addition, so you know, the Office of the Mayor has made a very strong attempt to contact those individuals that do have outstanding citations. As of this communication, all but two individuals who were issued citations have brought in their statements of economic interest with the $125 late filing fee paid. I'm sure Mr. Ehrlich will have more to say on that, but I believe it's my responsibility to communicate to the board that they did bring in their SEIs, they did receive a receipt, and they did pay their fees in full. So as I say, with that, we have two individuals who have not brought forward any SEI or any late filing fee.
So there are still are two pending.
There are two individuals who have not filed a statement with the required fee. I should be clear, and again, I'm sure Mr. Ehrlich will have more to say on this, that does not, and my office does not have the authority or power, that does not lift the citations. We have no authority in that matter.
But just to clarify, I mean, you know, the procedure for referring it to the city attorney for prosecution is part of our code. I mean, it's section 303-13 sub D, violation and penalty, and it does set out the procedure yes. for us to make the referral
yes.
for the, as you correctly noted, the additional potential fine and I believe potential imprisonment in the county jail. For
yes.
House of Correction for not less than 10 days or more than 40 days. you know, again, I appreciate that. I'm not at all clear. We'll talk to our legal advisor, you know, what the role of the board is in terms of, you know, withdrawing or making a recommendation or contacting the city attorney's office or whatever with regard to people. I think it's important that the goal is to get the SEIs filed with the payment of the late filing fees, and that's our goal, and that's the goal of the whole procedure set out in the code. So that should be our goal, and again, how the city attorney deals with the individuals that have gone more than 45 days that we then turn over is really up to the city attorney. So, and that's my view. I mean, we can certainly weigh in as a board, but I don't think that's our role. I mean, we don't have input to, you know, anything other than refer, and then it's really up to the city attorney's office. The way I read the statute says may prosecute, so that's, there's an element of discretion, it seems to me, based on all the facts and circumstances.
Sure.
But appreciate your, you know, submission on this subject. Ed, do you want to discuss this at all? I mean,
We could certainly discuss it, but you are correct in that once the matter's been filed in the municipal court, I'm not sure that it would be appropriate for the board to, in essence, call them back.
Right.
I think each case rises and falls on its own individual merits. To draw an analogy, very often people are prosecuted in the municipal court for operating after revocation of driving privilege. And they'll come to court and say, well, I have my license now. Well, that's good. We encourage you to get your license now. But when the officer stopped you, you didn't have a license, did you?
So that being the case, no one's ever done that before. So that being the case, you know, drawing that same analogy, there's no question that there has been a violation of law, and I think prosecution is appropriate, but on the other hand, other cases in municipal court are negotiated. Normally what happens, and what will happen in these cases, is that a pretrial date will be set, and the city attorney's office, whatever city attorney is handling the case in the court on that day, probably would be me, but it may not, will have a chance to talk to the defendant, and the defendant might be in a position to explain why they were late in filing their statement of economic interest. And if the equities indicate that the case should either be dismissed or that there should be some kind of a negotiation that reduces the penalty substantially, and there, by the way, are many, many different ways of doing that. We can reduce the fine. We can do what's called, very often we do what's called a hold open, where a plea of guilty is entered, but the case remains open. If no further violations of law, the case is automatically. There's all kinds of options on the table to finally dispose of these cases. But I have to say that once the case has been taken by the city attorney, and once, and by the way, just to correct what Jim said, he used the word citations. We didn't use citations. That wouldn't be appropriate. We used the long-form summons and complaint. So,
Okay. So
actually an action might be a better way to put it. Yeah. But in any event, you know, once the city attorney is involved in that, I don't know that it's appropriate for any other office of city government to inject themselves into the prosecution. I mean, certainly we would be open to hearing what people have to say and suggestions and so forth. But, you know, the ultimate responsibility, I think, remains with the city attorney. But you are correct, Mr. Chair, in that the whole idea of the scheme is to extract from reluctant individuals the statement of economic interest. And, you know, the fact that it's come to this is not our fault. You know, the Common Council, in its wisdom, passed this legislation, and the mayor signed it, and that's the scheme to extract.
Right.
So that's where we're at.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone on the board have any other thoughts on this?
Well, my only thought is that the, I guess that as the city attorney's office, I mean, you are aware then of this, the letter that we received, and I would agree with you. I don't think we have the authority to influence at all. I mean, it's a decision that the city attorney's office is going to make. But other than that pretrial hearing, will that be, I don't know, is Ms. Chang even aware that this letter exists?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yes, she is aware of the letter.
You have to.
All right, well then.
I guess we could pass the letter on to the city attorney's office.
I have a copy of the letter. And, you know, this is one of those situations, of course, where the facts might indicate that prosecution is not appropriate. I'm going to have to review the letter and see what's in it, but I think what the sense I'm getting from Mr. Ozarski is that from his perspective, Ms. Chang tried in good faith to file her statement of economic interest and received either bad information or no information, as I understood, and therefore was unable to do so. But let's not lose sight of the fact that Ms. Chang had 45 days to file this thing, and she didn't do it. You know, so, I mean, it's hard-pressed to hear her moan that she's being mistreated when she had every opportunity to comply with the law like apparently 150 or 190 other people did.
Well, and also, while it might be appropriate to indicate that she requested a statement of what she owed in the interim, once she was past a certain point, it was pretty clear what was owed at that point. So, anyway, I don't think there's anything more for us to do at this point, as long as the city attorney does have the letter in, and unless there's a consensus on this board that we should somehow contact the city attorney's office and make a recommendation. But my own feeling is that that's not appropriate. You know, that's not a role for us under the code in this or any other case. So
there are elected officials of the city of Milwaukee who are of the opinion that this provision for penalties for failure to file a statement of economic interest is inappropriate. They're certainly within their political rights to bring legislation to repeal this particular part of the code.
Yeah. Let's hope not. We struggled for a long time to come up with it. All right, we're going to move on to the next item, which is the report from staff assistant relating to the office activities the previous month.
Since the last meeting of July 13, I received $625 in late fees, and those were primarily of those individuals that had not complied as of the date.
So that's, what, five? Five,
yes,
people?
Yes, five individuals.
And we had, what, nine that were outstanding?
I think nine, yeah.
There's two left? I mean, I guess
there's actually, according to my list, I have three individuals that have not submitted.
Three,
forms,
okay.
Although Mr. Osarski has said two.
But all three are pending, right?
Oh, eight or nine are pending in municipal court. The return date's the 22nd of September, which is an awful long time. I don't know why the court.
Okay.
Let me count them up.
Could I just ask you, Joanna, to make a list for Ed or mm-hmm. for the city attorney's office and just mm-hmm. either email or whatever and advise the city attorney of your receipt of the SEIs and the late filing fees for the individuals that you have received it from that were referred to them? In other words, so of the eight or nine that we did pursuant to the code refer to the city attorney's office for violation and penalty, if we could inform them of the ones that we have received,
okay,
along with late filing fees, just so that there is no miscommunication, and presumably the individuals will inform the city attorney that they have filed this. But anyway, I guess the only concern I have is that these people think that just because they filed the SEI that somehow they don't have to show up for the return date.
Just so the record is clear, Mr. Chair, there were 10. Okay. 10 actions were filed.
Okay. So of the 10, do make sure that we, you know, have informed the city attorney. I don't think it's our job to inform these people that just because they filed that they don't have to go to the return date. I mean,
no, the summons and complaint was the summons and complaint was quite clear.
Right.
You know, if I got one, I would put it on my refrigerator with two strong magnets, so I didn't miss the date. So it's up to them.
Yeah, I know, but
I know.
I'm just telling you, human nature is that I'm guessing that there's going to be
they're not lawyers. They don't
more than one of those five people or six people that have paid that are not going to show up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I got my license, right?
If what? I had a summons, I would contact someone.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'm not showing up for him.
Anything else, Joanna, that you had?
We did get those letters that she passed on to us and numerous SEIs that that we have attached here. So moving on to the next item, which is the review of newly filed statement of economic interest for clarity and completeness. We'll note that one of the ones that Joanna originally sent us from Gail Cordova's was supplemented by a change of page one, which shows income, which was, of course, one of my questions.
What's my income?
When I first reviewed it, but, you know, it's amazing. There are several, but there are others that are listed where, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, we say, I mean, for example, Dale Radke, safety commissioner, says none. Pardon?
He's the chaplain, yeah.
Right. That's the one that we waived the late filing fees. But he also says no income. And says none on all of them.
Because he's in Social Security.
Religion is not a growth industry yet.
Apparently not. Like a bow of poverty.
Eggs on the streets.
Yeah.
A bow of poverty.
Well, but just... It doesn't mean that there is no income.
Right.
I'm sorry, but, you know, he may be... The level of poverty is like 20,000 of income.
Yeah. I know.
There's no Social Security. There's no...
Well, I'm just wondering, just as a point of thing, whether or not to remove our questions, if we somehow had a box that said the only income I receive is Social Security... You know, where we just would at least have some... We say that it doesn't have to be disclosed.
Yeah, but it's hard for us to review
But it's hard to review when we don't know. Because we don't know what
Social
they've
Security?
Eliminated. Pardon?
Do priests receive Social
no,
Security?
No.
Well, but he's not a Catholic priest.
He's not a Catholic
priest. In order to elect out of Social Security, you have to be part of a group that takes a vow of poverty. And
well, but you also can be in a system that... doesn't participate in Social Security.
Right.
So in other
you
words,
can,
you've never
yeah.
had any income. I mean, there are
sure.
certain
yeah.
municipals that have elected
yeah.
out and
yeah.
they
yes,
have their own retirement systems, and so
yeah.
they don't get Social Security because they never paid into it.
Yeah.
Right. The city of Cleveland's teachers.
Right.
Yeah.
Is
right.
an example.
Right.
But
so
it's not unheard of, but it's unusual.
But
if you want to hear that story,
I don't know. I mean, I hesitate to muck up our form just to make it easier for us, but that's one that we end up having a recurring. And of course, one of these that I mentioned to Joanne earlier before we met, who is repeatedly filed late, did indicate that he got Social Security.
Yeah, he did, but he did go so far as to put his gallery down and say he got nothing.
Yeah. No income. Took no money.
Art is for the people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Artist for the people.
I guess I want an audit of the books.
On Tina Chang's, I don't understand. At the top, in the first section, sources of income, she has SysLogic, Inc. as an employer. But then down below in part two, we say, for any payer listed above that's a partnership, limited liability company, subchapter S or C, list the identity of each payer of $1,000 to such partnership, and she has Tina Chang listed as a payer. It's like we're sort of in a the dog's chasing
it's
its tail, and it's going in a loop. Because the real question is, who paid SysLogic more than $1,000?
Tina Chang are we talking about?
The one who was the subject of that letter. Just the answer doesn't make much sense to me, but
that's not the first time.
No, that whole section has raised its own
Well, unfortunately, that's the way the code is written, and so we're stuck with it.
I know, I mean, but it's just, you know, it kind of
I know. Well, I mean, it's interesting. I mean,
isn't the point of that question that now she owns more than 10% of Syslogic, and our real question is here on the C-Corp, who paid Syslogic more than $1,000?
Right.
There should be a list of whoever paid.
Yeah. Right. That's the point of this, but I would gather that it's probably never been adequately complied with.
Yeah.
I mean,
to the best of my knowledge, Tina Chang owns 100% of this company, so if she has any client that paid it more than $1,000, we should have a list there, but...
Yeah. But I think technically if it is a corporation and she is getting paid in connection with
Goal,
she does have to put it up here.
Yeah, it's up in part one, but it's just part two.
Right, no, I understand. It's just that, right.
Not the first one of these that's like that,
right.
Not the last.
Right, it won't be. I think unless you actually sat down with these people when they're filling it out and you basically said to them, okay, what this means is that you have to tell us all the people that paid your company more than $1,000.
They look at you like,
wait a minute, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Thankfully, I don't own more than 10% of Quarles and Brady, so it's not an issue.
It just goes to show you that people treat all organizations exactly the same, regardless of their legal status, and they bring in lawyers and accountants to kind of sort it all out for them.
All right. Well, anybody have any problems with the ones filed? Okay.
No. Nope.
Okay. So now we need to set our next.
Why does DeLynn say that he has no city position up at the top? Because you wouldn't be filing if you didn't have some position, would you?
But he's on the R support.
Board.
Unless he's resigned.
Oh.
Actually, I think he did resign, didn't
he? Oh,
okay.
Probably just disgusted over some decision.
Oh, he's been disgusted for years.
I think his mantra is, this is none of your goddamn business.
Wow. Probably.
But I will tell you, just as an aside, I was requested to meet with the mayor's office to try and address this subject, and I met with the chief of staff and also the young woman that was attending here earlier. But, we talked about the need for the mayor's office to be more actively involved in contacting these individuals and letting them know when they're appointed that they're going to need to file, so this is not a surprise, and that they have an opportunity before accepting their appointment that, you know, this is part of their. And then we also talked about the need to get appropriate information, including date of birth, so that we would be in a position to file summons and stuff in the future. So it's my understanding that the mayor's office is going to be more proactive on that and get information from newly appointed people at the time and also reiterate the desire of the mayor's office and the mayor that everybody file on a timely basis and everything else. And we're also going to try and monitor email addresses because... people are required in connection with their participation on various boards to keep the board staff person updated with their current email address, and we're going to try and coordinate that so that we have the most up-to-date email addresses when we go out. So I think that's all very positive. And they were appropriately happy with, I'm not pleased with the situation. They wanted to get these pending matters resolved, but it was a good meeting from at least I think our board's perspective. So next meeting date.
Thank you for representing us.
Yes, for thank you.
Looks like the third Wednesday in September would be the 21st.
I will not be available that day.
Since we're down to
the
barest quorum. Yeah.
I would be available the following Wednesday.
Wow.
Maybe we can call Martha if she can come.
28?
I can't. I have individual partner evaluation that day, and changing that would be like moving. Well, it's scheduled at 10, so I could be here for about 45 minutes.
Happens if I
can.
If you have to go, then that's, you know.
I would love to skip that meeting. I'm going to go back to the office and waste all the rest of the day doing my annual partner plan. It's just a gigantic waste of time.
Well, maybe if we did it on the third Wednesday, Annie would be here. Let's call it for the
20th. Where is Annie?
I don't know. I mean, I here's
she's,
this.
Maybe she's sobbing over the election.
Well, she's sleeping
this morning.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure the election.
Sure, she's sleeping. She'll be much more available next month, I am sure.
Yeah. Well, let's set it for September 21st. And we'll have to make an effort to try and make sure that Annie is here so we have a quorum. So. Joanna, would you, when you give notice for the next meeting, would you just make sure that you ask members to reply to you about their availability? Just to email if they believe that they can attend.
Tell Annie that if she comes, I will show her my brother that are railway trainmen pin.
Wow.
Did you write that down?
Oh, yeah. I have when I work on the railroad. Proud member of the Brotherhood of Railway Train.
How many years ago was that?
Same time.
30
Same time. 9 o'clock. All right. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
All right. I am very practical. Where's the